government is the
There's
problem.
Rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
in. Put out an all-points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
Dutch, Jones, Dutch, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
Okay, I don't even know, I gotta do some adjusting here from yesterday. I don't even know why. Well, hello, Stacy. Senator McCrazy would say that. I don't know what context that's in, but thank you, Lou, for sharing. We must deliver hot bottled water to dehydrated babies.
Oh, you're exactly right.
This is the Dutch Jones Radio Experience.
Is that a pizza place?
Why do drugs when you can listen to Dutch Jones, I always say. It's Friday, I believe it's the 10th of December, December 10, 2010.
Absolutely.
And we are bringing you the militant Christian worldview from a little town, actually it's a commonwealth called Kawea, K-A-W.
Is that a pizza place?
K-A-W-E-A-H, in Central California, right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park. We got all these weird Native American names. You know, I can't just, you know, it's not like good Anglican, you know, or Anglo names like...
The word of heck I always...
Yeah, it's not like Smithtown, you know, it's the Chumbawamba Hills and all that kind of stuff. And it's the middle of December, I can see snow out this studio window. Fog rolling in, the sun has just pretty much gone, and we're just seeing the bounced light off the clouds. We're here in 1,000 feet of mountains, hills, rolling hills. I call this foothills. I'm from the Rocky Mountains. And it's just beautiful, beautiful oak forest, rolling hills. We picked up a listener in the last few weeks, Dr. M Radio, I think, or Derm Radio, DRM Radio, and from Ireland. And I wonder, you know, it's all green and rolling here, and I always make comments like, it looks like Ireland, but I bet it looks nothing like Ireland. It's just what we weird Americans think Ireland must look like, you know. But I do have my kilt, being Scottish in descent, and sometimes I like to go frolic in the hills here when it's green like this and make people think they made the wrong turn and ended up in Scotland or Ireland. But it's a great place to be. It's one of those havens. It's a stronghold. That's why I often say stronghold radio. We're trying to build a Christian covenant community here. We're reaching out to the world. I'm looking at where people are listening to us now, and it's blowing me away. Now, predominantly, about 60% of our listeners are in the United States or its territories, Puerto Rico, Guam, that kind of stuff. But of that 20%, it's just that are not, you know, right around there. It's spread out all over. Then there's, what did I say? So about 60% of the United States. 40% are not in the United States, roughly. Haven't actually crunched the numbers or sent it down to the accounting department here at Dutch Jones. But it's good to see. And then, you know, we find out that we've got folks all over Europe, all over Asia, Pakistan, the Philippines. You know, I don't think we have anybody in Antarctica or above the Arctic Circle yet, unless there's somebody
where
at some
the sun
station.
Don't shine.
Yeah, where the sun don't shine. So we got to try for those. So you guys just keep doing the good job, keep spreading the news, keep posting the links, keep telling people to come listen to us. It's been snowing for 10 days here. It's never snowed in where you live in Ireland before. I thought global warming was going to get rid of all that stuff. There wasn't going to be snow anymore, and all the ice caps were going to melt. Wow. So it's snowing in Ireland. I won't even try to do a bad Irish accent. I don't do it when there's actually Irish people around because, you know, then I end up sounding like the Lucky Charms guy and I get hate mail. Just like when I do the Chinese thing, you know, all the different accents I do are so bad. And then when there's somebody really from that culture, they like, hey, you butchered my language, eh? But that's what we do. We were watching zombie movies today. Being a Friday, we kind of just relax a little bit. just especially now that Lou has finished the conference. The conference is done, so we can start doing those. We got a new duplicator, so we can get the conference videos ready to go out. So if you guys make a hearty donation, we can get you copies of the conference. We were having trouble with PayPal, but it seems to be better now. But I think that's because of the whole WikiLeaks thing. They got attacked, so we're collateral damage. But we were watching zombie films today. We watched Shaun of the Dead, which, of course, is British.
Redneck Zombies.
And we like that. We watched Redneck Zombies, which I don't really recommend for anybody because it's vulgar, nasty, and kind of. What's up? What?
Is that yours? Yeah. Oh, no, nothing.
Oh. But Redneck Zombies, I thought they were had a comment. Sorry, we do have a studio audience, as always. Stacy's here, and Lou's here, and, of course, Debbie's behind me.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, oh, the dog was chewing on some parachute cord that belonged to Debbie. That's what it was. But Redneck Zombies, just a hack film made in 87. But Shaun of the Dead is great. And then we saw Marionettes or Puppet, a zombie movie from Holland that was just really bad. They subtitled it in English, and it was really bad. Then what was the other one?
Zombie Movie.
Zombie Movie. Okay, now Zombie Movie was from New Zealand. And it had three satanic-worshipping headbangers trapped in like a Cooper Mini station wagon kind of thing on the street. They ran out of gas, and the zombies were around them, and it followed them for like 4 days. Cannibalism, murder, all this stuff. But it was a really nice take on zombies. So what was it called?
Zombie Movie.
Just Zombie Movie from New Zealand. You know, you don't care about the characters. You know, you
there three mates stuck in a car.
Three mates stuck in a car, eh? But they do everything wrong as usual. Zombie movies are great for that. It's a great reverse barometer. Whatever. Well, yeah, they had a pellet gun in the zombie movie, and one of them wanted to commit suicide rather than be eaten, so they shot him in the head with a pellet gun, and it just kind of bounced off, and he started screaming.
Sorry, just trying to
so help. Just so you know, a pellet gun is not a good zombie weapon. Put the microphone in front of your face so nobody can hear you. Why'd you move it way over there? Okay, say something, Lou.
Something.
No, say something.
Something.
There you go. Now we can hear Lou. Boy, I got a lot of comments about the pastor being on last night. He really enjoyed it. Thank you to Mary who called in. Oh, you know what? I haven't, like, activated our Facebook listeners yet. I got to do that. I came in here with something else on my mind. I wasn't thinking clearly. But we got a lot of really good feedback from the pastor being on. And I enjoyed the call that came in from Michigan Mary. And that was nice of her to compliment the pastor. I really appreciate that. Let me do this. Control-V. Great. So he's going to keep coming back Thursdays. I don't know what he's going to talk about next Thursday, but it'll be good. And so tell your friends you want to hear a good sermon. And then when the archive gets up, I don't know if Olimau got it because of all the jumbly with the buffering, it may have been too hard for her to get something up. So I understand that because I think it got butchered. But tell your friends about it. Tell them to come to the page and listen to it in the archives because, you know, it's not going to run again. But so that was fun last night. I don't think there was anything else. Did we learn anything else today? Anything new? We've got some articles and stuff that people have sent me on things, but nothing remarkable seemed to happen overnight. I do know that the British students accosted the Prince of Wales and his horse-faced wife, and everybody got excited. I actually got an alert from a Southern California militia, like there was anything we could do. I don't know why this guy continues to send me these alerts about something that's going on in Britain, you know, a student riot, because they ran up the student tuition fees like 300%. So, you know, their socialism over there is failing horribly. The only lesson for us is that it's a good window to see what's going to happen here. You know, and the first people that will riot will be the students. It always is. It always is. Let's see, I got this news story here on women on the front lines in Iraq. Sergeant Sheena Adams, a U.S. Marine with the FET, they call them the Female Engagement Team. 1st Battalion, 8th Marines, Regimental Combat Team 2, comforts an Afghan translator who was crying after hearing about the death of a fellow Marine. And they got like 15 pictures here. I'll put the website. It's on the Facebook. If you go to Facebook and look for Dutch Jones, you'll find it there. But my comment is, the Lord does not bless nations that send their women into battle. They just don't do it. Come on, Control-V. Why isn't it working? Oh, great. Now this computer's not doing what it's supposed to do.
Copy link location.
Copy link location. Mm-hmm. Okay, copy link location. Go here. Go down here and go Control-V. There we go. So It's just how they snuck that in, right? Oh, we don't have women in combat, but now, yeah, we have women in combat. So another thing that they're lying about and sneaking by you, and all you women that are married to soldiers that don't want your men over there, look what's going on. Yeah, FET, female engagement teams. It's like they're going out to get married.
That sounds like a TV channel.
FET, it does sound like it. It's like, what would it be? Fallujah Entertainment Television. I don't know what it would be, but that was a bad attempt. But I got some good comments on that when I posted that. People say, you know, that's just not cool. Let's see. I've got a really harsh video that I'm going to post here. It's like 18 feet long, the link. But if you want to see this link, it's on the Facebook page. As a reminder from Code 20 to all of you who think Islam is okay. It talks about Ayatollah Khomeini raping a four-year-old girl and saying it's okay. Warning, parental warning on this. Don't let your kids see that because it's harsh. I just put it in the room there. Faithfreedom.org. If you go to faithfreedom.org, go through their videos, and it would be really good if you guys could... it's 1:09 a.m. in Ireland. Wow. Well, thank you for hanging in as long as you could. Listen to the replay. Be one of our pod people. I don't want you staying up late and getting groggy from Mr. DRM Radio. Thanks a lot, and I appreciate you coming in there. Where was I? Oh, yeah, so check out this video, another in-your-face proof that Islam is a barbaric religion from Satan. Well, the main theme I want to talk about, and probably the whole day today, and I'm going to require that you guys call in on this because I want your tips. I want to know what you're doing. And it's the phone number to call in is 559-561-8225, 559-561-8225. And if we only go an hour on this, we may just stop and then let it repeat for Liberty Tree Radio, because the information I have today is pretty solid, and I want to share it with you guys. But if we can get it done in an hour tonight, we may only do an hour today. I really need to lay down. My back's still killing me from humping potatoes yesterday. It was funny. I'm getting calls from everybody that helped, and they're all like, I'm all sore. So, we shouldn't work in a grocery warehouse. Now, we all know the saying, waste not, want not, you know, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to start this as my Enemies of Survival series. This will be number one. I emailed it to some of you. If you guys want more of it, if you guys want to be part of the Dutch Jones email list, you have to email dutch@dutchjones.info. Dutch@dutchjones.info, and I will email you the stuff that I do on the show, articles. You'll get it ahead of time. Not that you would, you know, you're going to miss out on the extrapolation that I do, but you're going to want to read it first before you come on the air, and that might help you be a call-in member.
That would be crazy.
Was that McCain again? Sounded more like
yes. I'm John McCain.
Why John McCain today, Lou?
I don't know.
Did he do something mean to you today or something? You get some hate mail from John?
Why, thank you, my friend.
Well, what I'm going to do is in this series is talk about enemies of survival, the things that are holding you back, the things that are keeping you from being all that you can be, things that are making you a burden to your family, making you a burden to the cause. And some things are going to be small, some things are going to be huge. I'm going to step on a lot of toes with this series, but I think I'm going to do them every Friday. I don't know how many there's going to be. I haven't thought it out. This one came to me about 2 days ago, and it was something I really wanted to do. Now, as Americans, we are really wasteful people. Our nation went from pioneer attitude to an attitude of consumption in just a matter of 100 years. We supersize everything, then use some part... Wow, I can hear you banging your keys. What's... That mic is sensitive. Why all this? Let me move this. See if you hear that. Now try banging on your keys. Okay, I gotta make this cable go out of the way. There we go. Do it now, Lynn. We're a use and throwaway society. I think you guys will agree with that. We supersize everything, then use some part or most of it in a race with time until it spoils. We choose flashy packaging over substance, taste over nutrition, and price per package over real value of product. Now, I can't tell you how many times we go through our refrigerator and we throw out food. It's terrible. We all do it. I'm not chastising you. I'm not saying that we're perfect, but that's what we do. We find stuff. How many folks are afraid to look at the back of their fridge right now, this very moment?
Probably that guy right there.
Maybe this guy right here. Hello?
Hi, this is Warland.
Hey, Warland, what's up?
Oh, just called to say hi.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, great show so far. people into it. But anyway, something interesting came over the
go ahead.
Chat room earlier. Apparently there's some sort of rescue effort by a militia that I haven't heard of before around Mount Shasta. Now, this was talked about on Militia Town Hall Radio.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that Ed might call in, maybe fill in some more details on that.
That would be great. When he comes into the room, we'll task him with that. You tell us what you can about it, though.
Well, all I know is what they were talking about on Militia Town Hall Radio. Mike brought it up. And I had never heard about this militia before. Apparently, they're doing good work searching for people.
Oh, good. Well, there's militia groups all over California that they just keep... The California militias are scared of their own shadows, sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. You know, we talked about being like Bigfoot, you know, not being known last week or earlier this week. But a lot of them don't even want to relate to other militias because they're afraid of being stamped or they don't even like using the M word. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. Well, around Klamath, there's supposed to be a couple militias.
Sure.
I heard performing. Basically gun clubs.
Yeah.
It's big in the glove.
I always tell everybody just to start a Bible study that carries guns.
Right.
And that's the best way to get around it.
Absolutely.
Sure. Okay, well, did you hear what we're talking about here with the how America, we waste everything, we're an expendable society?
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's just tons of waste all the time. In fact, Chico is one of the main places where waste gets recycled quite a bit. You wouldn't believe what the students here just throw away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember in Colorado State University, as a teenager, we'd go hit the dumpsters after the college students would leave and we could furnish whole houses with the stuff they threw away.
Right.
From their dorm rooms.
And aluminum cans, well, throw them all over the place.
Well, that's created a whole subculture. Yeah, but you take it, it's into everything we do. People buy the 500-gallon jug of mayonnaise, use half of it, and it goes bad before they can ever use it all. Because they think they're saving 13 cents an ounce on mayonnaise. Hmm. It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
You know, you'll have... Go ahead.
Okay. A lot of these big stores that sell in bulk, you know, you end up buying way more than you need. And
sure do.
Well, unless it's like toilet paper or something like that. But
yeah.
It
yeah,
will get used
that.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Food is always good. But, I don't know where this is going. This consumer-driven society.
Well, it's all part of their plan. You know, the planned obsolescence of the products. You don't see family heirlooms anymore. How many people are going to hand down their Xbox multiple generations?
Right.
You know, just 4 or 5, you know, decades ago, kids' toys were heirlooms. Now they're not. Now they're made to be thrown into the landfill or melted down and made into something else.
Well, one of the things that I like collecting is children's wooden toys.
Mm-hmm.
Those are always good for gifts. You can fix them up. You know, they're very easy to repair if you have any woodcrafting type of skills.
Great. Well, it's a great idea, yeah, especially if you're on a budget. You know, you get some of these things that are older. The problem is we've programmed our kids, and they have this paradigm that they have to have gizmos that go bop, whiz, bang, and take batteries.
Right.
It may be too late. If you give your kid a little wooden train set, they're going to go, what's up? You gone nuts, Dad?
Yeah, what's this? Where's the batteries go, Dad?
Yeah, where's the USB port?
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's right in my thesis here that we're talking about is that, you know, you've got to get your family on the right track. Thinking more like a pioneer from Little House on the Prairie than you know, somebody who's going to settle on another planet and needs to have everything mechanical and electronic. And we waste so much of our money. I mean, how many of the toys do we give our kids that they take out of the package and ends up under the bed forever that they never use again?
Or the kid plays with a box.
Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. You know, sponges and spoons were my favorite toys, but you know, the boxes, everything like that. Lou, did you plug in your head? Turn it up so that they can hear in the studio. It's part of the plan. It's from the Sesame Street world. It's from the advertising world where the kids have got to have the most expensive, the most technical toys they have. And that's one of the reasons is they want to train the future soldiers to use that technology. So, but it's so expendable. I mean, as soon as something hits the market, look at phones. How soon after they release one of these new whiz-bang phones that everybody runs and spends hundreds of dollars on, is it obsolete? or has problems. And think what you could have spent that money on for survival.
Well, dealing with computers, I mean, they're nothing but one long line of obsolescence. They're pretty much obsolete as soon as they leave the conveyor belt.
Now, I like stuff like when you look at what Liberty Tree Radio is doing, those folks. They're taking old 486 computers and using them for data transfer communications. That's great. You know, that's putting it to work. That's the counter to what I'm talking about. People are going, I'm not throwing this computer out. I'm going to find a use for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll use it as long as there's electricity or we can make electricity. And then after that, it becomes a boat anchor, you know, or something, or a bullet stopper on the wall. But we as a society go through all our stuff and throw it away. We'll get down to the bottom and stash it somewhere, forget we have it. I mean, I don't know how many half-opened or half-full boxes of staples and screws I own because I keep going to get more because I can't find where I put them.
Right.
And then as soon as you buy the replacement thing, like for your gear or something, the part you lost pops up, and you're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
You know? And it just, I do that all the time. I hate it. It's a mindset you got to get out of. And
yeah, I'm guilty of that too. Exactly. I know what you're talking about.
Right. Well, I always recommend, like, when if I had a garage, and I don't, I have a basement, I need to do this soon. Go into your garage, go into your basements, men, and I want you to take a look at everything you have, make an inventory of it, see if it's useful, see if it's not, look at the duplicates you have, and decide what you're going to do with them. Women, I ask this, how many expired foods lurk in your kitchen? How many ointments, lotions, and miracle beauty solutions lay abandoned in your home? You bought something, tried it once, and put it away. You know, unless you can find alternate uses for it, you need to trade it, sell it, reapply it, use it for fertilizer or something. We need to get more streamlined in our lifestyles.
Do something with it.
Yeah. And we got to stop training our kids to waste. We got to stop training. You go to the fast food store right now, like McDonald's, any drink a dollar. So everybody gets the 42-gallon jug, drinks a third of it, and then throws it away. Now you're probably saying, well, that's just soda. Who cares? But it's the mindset. Rather than getting the small for 50, well, they don't do it at McDonald's anymore. They see they're trying to train you, but you get a small for 50 cents and you just keep refilling it as you need it. Reuse it. You know, I'm not a big recycling freak, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to survival stuff, we've got to find things that we can reuse, reapply, reinvent, things like that.
Oh, I knew a guy, his name was, well, I won't give his name up.
Just call him Bob.
All kinds of stuff. Jugs, tons of milk jugs, batteries. He was big into batteries, and I was just kind of curious as why all the batteries, because they're all like nickel cadmium with very short lives. I was just kind of curious about it. Well, why was he saving up all these watch batteries?
Mm-hmm.
Never did answer me.
Yeah, I've got guys around here. They're collecting wheel weights, batteries for the lead. They've got a plan for it. You know, they're gonna use it to make bullets when the time comes, and I can appreciate that. And they, you know, means of production stuff. You know, but you get to the point where you're hoarding one thing, and it's like, what's the point? I mean, you can't move around your house because you've got boxes of garbage everywhere. If you look down and you've got 3 months ago's flyer for food at the local grocery store there, and you're not using it for kindling, something's wrong.
Right.
You know, we've got to streamline our lives and get away from these paradigms. Right now, America's remove and replace over repair. I mean, I know people that when their car breaks down, rather than fix it, they go buy another one and put the other one in a field. You should strip that thing down for parts or fix it. It has a value. Nobody wants to fix anything anymore, but in their defense, most things are made so they can't be fixed.
That's right, planned obsolescence.
That's what our American consumerism economy is based on, is the fact that I've had so many laptop computers, I've lost count. And you bring in and go, well, we could get in there and fix it, but it'd be about $450. You could buy this one over here for $395. So I do it too. And I've got dead laptops laying all over the place.
Mm.
You know, wondering, well, someday they'll be worth something, you know, but we can't do that. I always love it. You go into a kid's room, make a list of all the gadgets, toys, clothes that they used the day they received them, and put them away. Remember I was talking about, you get all that stuff in a... I know people whose closets are full to the top with stuff they don't even know what's in there. It's kind of fun when you do it, too. You clean out these closets, and you go, hey, I didn't know I had this. It's like shopping all over again. But we've got to streamline. You can't take it with you. I always make the refugee comments. Where's this stuff all going to go? It's going to be scattered in the street as they loot your house or burned down with your house. So why have it all? Dig under your beds. Look under your beds and look at all the garbage that we stash under our beds. And I'm not just talking about candy wrappers. I'm talking about things that we buy. We waste things so often. We can waste things by overusing them and breaking them. I always love how we overuse like things like shampoo and stuff. It'll always say, you know, apply, you know, about a tablespoon, rinse, lather, repeat. And people will repeat four or five times because they think their head didn't get clean. You know, if it says a little dab will do you, why do we use a handful? Because we're gluttonous as Americans. We overdo it. We use way too much of everything we buy. And you look back just to the 1930s when people couldn't afford to buy shampoos or soaps and they had to make their own. Think about how frugal you're going to be using it. Isn't it better to train yourself now to use just the minimum required to make it last longer?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you shouldn't... Oh, well, then again, wouldn't it depend on how much hair you have?
Yeah.
If you have a lot of hair, I mean, you might have to...
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of women are saying, you don't understand, I got to use a half a bottle. But the fact of it is that you should use the minimum amount. You should optimize the quantity of an item, and it's actually saving you money. Every time you do that, it means you have to buy another bottle later or if you have to go to your stash later. Learning to use the perfect amount or measure is crucial. And the best way to do it is trial and error. Start small, work up. Keep notes till you get to the point and say, okay, well, I know that if I put, you know, this much in my hand, it works. You have to be very scientific and deliberate about this. Because if you have a six-month supply of shampoo, you think it's 6 months, it may last you 2 years if you do it right. This is one thing that I have done. My father pounded this because he didn't want to spend money on shampoo. I'd make a bottle of shampoo last 2 years. Of course, I've got very short hair. So, you know, it's maybe unfair, but ladies, you know, maybe figure out if you can't live without it, you need to learn how to make it. You need to stretch the usefulness of it. It's money in your pocket that you can use for other things. Shampoos, soaps, cleaners, hygiene items, food, of course, the ingredients to food, spices, coffee, teas, medicine, vitamins, fuel, candles, batteries, transportation, all that. You need to optimize it. You need to look at it as a limited resource.
Oh, everything is going to be coming in short supply.
Oh, yeah. Even if we don't completely crash, but we just head into another depression. Well, we're already in a depression, but a deeper depression.
We're in a depression, yeah.
Another thing we do is we overpurchase. We were talking about it earlier. We like to go to these big warehouse stores and buy a pallet of mayonnaise. Why do we need that much mayonnaise when we all know that one day it's going to grow green and disobey us and attack us?
Why buy mayonnaise anyway?
Well, you don't like mayonnaise, but I love mayonnaise. If you can't use it before it expires, get the smaller jar because you're just throwing all that extra away. And now if you can't use it, store it, sell it, trade it, plant it in the ground, or change it into something else, you're wasting your money on it, period. We all do it. We're trained to do it. We're slaves to advertising. We're told, well, if I buy a 55-gallon drum of ketchup, it's great. You get about halfway down and it turns to a giant, you know, hockey puck. What's the point? Now, if the shelf life for something is less than 6 months, you probably don't need it. However, if you do need it, you better learn how to make it.
Well, actually, I do know a alternative use for old ketchup.
Well,
yeah, you can use it to polish grass with.
I've heard that one. Well, that's the music. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to finish this more on what we can do to thin out our cupboards to make room for the stuff we need. Thank you for calling in, Warland. We'll be back right after this.
All right.
Good night.
And I'll tell you something for the Union, the northern ranks were enrolled. They came to Missouri in their glory and thought at their might we'd be dismayed. But they soon had a different story when they met Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, me boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? They have called us rebels and traitors, but themselves have thrown up that name of late. They were called it by the English invaders at home in the year of 98. The name to us is not a new one, though it is one that shall never degrade. Any true-hearted Irishman in the ranks of Kelly's Irish Brigade, when they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? Call us invaders, tis but states rights and liberty we ask. And Missouri will ever defend her, no matter how hard may be the task. Then let it through Irishmen assemble, let the voice of Missouri be obeyed. And the northern fanatics will tremble when again they meet Kelly's Irish Brigade. When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade? When they met with the Irish Brigade, my boys, when they met with the Irish Brigade. Didn't those cowardly Lincolnites tremble when they met with the Irish Brigade?
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Without a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
The government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
And I have never been an astronaut, but I think I know the challenges of space.
Well, I've never been an astronaut either, and I have no idea the challenges of space, but I know the challenges of the space between my ears. And I'm constantly struggling with doing the right thing and standing righteous in the Lord and in the holy cause of liberty. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. Thank you all for tuning in. We're bringing you the Christian Militant Worldview, and we're talking about waste. How want not, waste not, waste not, want not, something like that. And how we need to get our homes in order if we're ever expected to survive this coming calamity. During the break, my last discussion there, Michigan Mary put up hillbillyhousewife.com. Hillbillyhousewife.com. Check it out. If she recommends it, I recommend it. I trust her. It's not going to be like Chip and Dale, is it?
What?
Neighbor is like, huh? Nobody's saying anything. No, it'll be a good site. It'll talk about frugal cooking and the like. And women need to be preparing themselves for this stuff. They need to be getting ready to cook on, you know, cinder blocks and an old stove grate out in front of the house if that need to be. They need to start getting their gear together just like we men need to get our gear together, right? If you're dependent upon Cuisinarts, toaster ovens, rotisserie, roasting things, and that's how you're cooking for your family, that's great until the power goes off. Electricity is a luxury, folks.
Yes, it is.
I know people that store thousands and thousands of batteries, but what good is that when the batteries run out? If you're going to use batteries, get a solar charger. Get a wind generator to charge them. You know, something along those lines. You've got to prepare yourselves. Just like the men have to prepare for war, the women have to prepare to make the men capable of fighting a war.
Yep.
They got to be able to patch them up when they come back, pat them on the heads, make them feel good, feed them, heal them, keep them clothed and everything in proper order. It's a distribution of duties that come from the Bible, not from me. And if the women aren't ready to do that, well, then they need to rethink where their standing is in the Lord. And it's not me saying that. And if a woman can't have her house in order and a man can't have his house in order, they're not going to be any good to the holy cause of liberty. Hopefully they'll get lost in the first few rounds of fighting, because I don't want to carry them. I don't want to be involved with some guy that can't keep his house in order. And I definitely don't want somebody to have to deal with me because my house isn't in order. So that's what we're doing today. We're talking about things people can do to make things right before they have to. The more you get used to living on a shoestring budget and living like a pioneer now, the easier it'll be. All this food we're storing now is not meant to get us to victory. It's not meant, oh, this is going to sustain us until the cavalry comes over the hill and order will be restored and the electricity will be on and we'll have a new government. No, I've got 6 months' supply of food for my family, of good food products, and even longer in grains and rice and beans. But it's temporary. I am not naive enough to think that this battle that's coming is going to last 6 months. No, but the best I can do right now is 6 months. I'm going to make that last 2 years if I can. It's to ease the transition from fat, comfortable Americanism to guerrilla warfare, fighting for our liberty. That's what it is. That's all the 6 month supply of food or what. I don't care if you got 10 years. It's transitionary. How long did the American Revolution take? How long do wars last? How long have we been in Iraq and Afghanistan? If you really think that your 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, or even year supply of food, you're gonna rely upon it and that's it, and you're not gonna have to go out and gather food. Sorry, I'm getting a little mad here because I'm thinking of people that are angering me right now. I gotta let this get personal. Sure, you could spend 2 days in a class learning how to snare, hunt, fish, prepare animals, and it may cost you $200 to $400. And people go, well, I don't want to spend all that money on training. I don't want to learn how to rig up an animal trap. I went fishing with my dad. I already know how to do all that. Yeah, do you know how to do it in a tactical situation? How to do it where you produce enough food to feed your family? No, so shut up. Or you could go buy $500, $400 worth of freeze-dried food that might last you 2, 3, 4 weeks if you've got a big family. Wouldn't you rather be able to feed them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years or infinity because you spent the $500 to learn how to get the game? Or you invested that money in a means of production, you went out and bought a plow and some seeds and irrigation equipment rather than just going, well, I got a bunch of canned tomatoes. Waste. Waste. We're using our resources that the Lord gives us poorly. Sorry, I got on my soapbox there.
Tell him, dude.
Just having a rough time. All that high-end gear, even the stuff we sell, I'm going to say something right here. It may just shoot myself in the foot trying to make money for this ministry, but all that high-end gear sure makes you look great. But let's be realistic. All you really need is a bunch of your granddad's hunting and camping gear to do the job just as well. One of my favorite days of training was we did a shakedown where we got everybody to show up to the church and we set up our sleeping gear and we laid out our rifles. You guys can see that. I think there's even a video of that we have up somewhere. And you can see what we're doing. And all these guys, I got all my tactical gear and I had my camo netting and all that. We did good. And then Debbie shows up with like three backpacks, wasn't it? They're canvas. They blend in. She's wearing her little House on the Prairie clothes. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Looking like, and she had everything she needed in perfect carrying containers. She had medical. She had survival. She had self-defense stuff. And none of it would have drawn the attention of anyone. And none of it was bought from us. What's wrong with you? No, I'm just kidding. But you don't need to do that. Go to the secondhand stores. Buy appropriate colored backpacks.
Buy
what you're going to use, Debbie said that. Don't. You know, I love it when you guys order this tactical stuff from us because you may need that for garrison defense if you want to be part of the militia. But if you can't do that, and right now it's probably too late if you don't have the money. You don't need to look like Rambo. In fact, it would be better in some cases if you don't look like Rambo. You just look like Hobo. Hobo the Warrior gets a lot more done than Rambo, doesn't he? Think about it. You know, stop trying to say, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and look at what you need to do. You know, I want to get this training, I want to get that training. If you've got one gun, spend all your time with that gun learning how to use it. Don't waste your time, what's the word, pining for a gun you'll never afford, or you'll put $1,100 into this rifle that you just don't have the skills to use. If you've got a Ruger 10/22, that's all you need. Buy as much ammo as you can carry and learn how to shoot it. So don't overpurchase stuff. Remember, if you cannot use it, store it, sell it, trade it, bury it and make it grow, you're wasting your money on it. And we all do it. We're trained to do it. We're programmed to do it. Take, for example, most luxuries we think we need today and notice how really unimportant they are. Now, the only exception to this to me is toilet paper. Toilet paper, get as much of it as you can. The rule of it must have three or four uses. Well, toilet paper can be kindling. It can be used for cleaning, you know, all kinds of stuff, candle not just wicks. Your bum. What?
They make great candle wicks.
Candle wicks, all kinds of stuff. Toilet paper is one thing because it's cheap. If you can store a lot of it, you will be king. That's the one exception I can come up with this. And if you can come up with another one, let me know. Call in of things that you should hoard that you can do. Now, I already talked about the paying for the classes. Be realistic. You know, if you can't hump a ruck around the mountains, rather than taking a four-day class on a tactical rifle or something, maybe you should go get a membership to a gym. You need to have an economy of task and skill. It'll save you longer and better than the things that you can purchase with your credit card. What good is it if you have all the best Cabela's gear if you can't carry it? The stockpiling of things only eases the transition from comfort to survival mode. They should not be intended to maintain your current lifestyle. No one has that kind of money or space. Yeah, sure, they have these ARCs buried and hidden for the power elite. I know that, but I'm talking about you people and me. I can't store enough cans of, what's the chili that I like? What chili am I eating now? Come on, help me out. Chili Verde, yeah. But the chilies that I buy, I could buy truckloads of it, but it's never going to be enough. It'll go rotten before I can eat it all. Now, another form of waste is abuse and stupidity, and I have to enter this because I see this a lot. You need. What are you mumbling over there? You got a comment? Do you want to comment?
I can't remember what chili you like. It's not stag chili you don't like.
I don't like stag chili. Okay. Take care of everything you have. Make it last beyond its design parameters. You know, don't let those engineers beat your pocketbook. Lube it, clean it, store it, and love it like you would a cherished heirloom. And I mentioned this earlier. We don't have heirlooms today anymore. Lewis throws his gear around like it's nothing, and it keeps breaking and disappearing. And I'm working on him because he's just like all the rest of us. He's lived this consumer lifestyle. You know, he breaks something, well, I can just go buy another one for $15. We can't think like that anymore. Sure, we care for our weapons, our cars. Men and women have different things that they really like to take care of. Women are really big on their jewelry and some of their nice clothes and stuff. But overall, we need to improve in this. Why not apply the same attitude that a teenager has to his hot rod to your survival stuff and your basic production gear? You should appreciate all the God's gifts to us, right? Everything that God's given us is His, and we're just getting to use it. You should treat it that way. It'll give you a good attitude. Even so-called disposable items can be used multiple times beyond their design. Every time I go into a fast food restaurant, I'm typing all kinds of forks and knives to take home with me. Like I said, there's one exception that comes to mind is toilet paper. You know, you don't focus on that to reuse it. Don't try to clean it. In the old days, people, you know, in the old days, people would have rags that they would use. You can do that if you have the sanitary situations. But no, as Debbie once said, know the leaves that you need to know. Never put a tool away dirty. Never leave it out in the rain, and never loan it to a gypsy. That was my dad's sage advice he gave me. Never put a tool away dirty, and you can put anything in there. Rifle, boots, belt buckle, cooking implements. Never leave it out in the rain, which is, you know, an it could mean anything. Never leave it out to the elements. And never loan it to a gypsy. Never loan things that you depend your life on to people you can't trust. I've only encountered a few Irish gypsies, but that's what my dad used to give me when I was a kid. And it's lasted me. And every time I violated that, I've lost the tool, it's become defective, or somebody walked off with it. And that's the way it goes. You need to learn to service your cars. That means men, women, and children also. They need to learn how to jump start a car. You know, everybody always, I love it when I'm going down the road and I see a broken down car and everybody's trying to jump start it because they think that fixes everything that goes wrong under the hood. You were driving down the road and suddenly something went wrong. Did your headlights go dim? Did you lose power? No. Then why are you jump starting it?
I don't know.
And every time a car breaks down, I hear people, well, let's try jump starting it. That's not what's wrong. It's not getting fuel. There's something else. The drive line fell off. Well, that might fix it. Let's jump start it. You've got to know the tools that you're using. And the only way you're going to know them is if you get dirty with them, because you're cleaning them and taking care of them. Take classes at the local community college on everything from electronics to medical to farming to animal husbandry. Invest in means of production and knowledge base. Go to yard sales and buy books on how to do this stuff. The older the books are, the better. The cruder the mechanisms, the better. If they use a circuit board, forget about them. That may seem hard, but try fixing that chainsaw after the crash on your own. Your chainsaw cuts out, you've got a steel going, you can run it on alcohol or something. You're using it to cut firewood because that's your post-collapse economic plan to sell firewood to people to trade them for eggs. And your chainsaw breaks and you didn't take the time to learn how to fix a chainsaw because you've always depended on your own wit and going down to Home Depot and getting replacement parts and asking the guy there, how do I fix my chainsaw? If you're going to use it to survive, you better know it as well as the guy who invented it. Hello, who do we have?
Hello, Pablo.
Hey, it's Minuteman.
Hey.
What do you want to call about today?
Giving you a call just to give you an update on kind of what's happening border-wise.
Sure.
With BPOC, Border Patrol Auxiliary, and with the Minuteman Corps of California, we've got musters going on every month, one weekend for BPOS, one weekend for them.
Good.
And there's also, with my contact with the Arizona Citizens Militia, there is one of their representatives here in Southern California. So there's a number of different avenues, and like with you with Campo Minutemen, there's a lot of stuff that happens at the border. Sometimes if you go down there to work, sometimes it can be very dull and boring because they've gone elsewhere, you know, to other parts of the border to come across.
Right.
Other times, like at Campo and stuff like that, you can have a lot of activity. But if people choose to use their time in such a way besides just bitching and griping to their friends, if go down and actually physically do something, and
yeah,
sometimes you feel like the little Dutch boy, you know, if that's not this Dutch, but like the little Dutch boy sticking a finger in the dike because the problem's so big. But by being down there, you are making a presence, you are making a difference, even if you're just forcing them to go 10 miles down to a different part to cross.
Yeah.
They're still making it where there's some type of a hindrance, some type of an eye, and though it will not be done in the newspapers where the Border Patrol says, we love having you guys down here, you really make a difference. But the guys on the line that are driving the fence, that are going, you know, at 2 in the morning driving it, and you know this very well, you know, if you stop them or they, you know, stop you, they will thank you because the guys out there that are, you know, the ground pounders really do appreciate that you come from your safe home. You're not getting paid for it, but you're coming down to be extra eyes and ears for
sure.
Them. And if something gets difficult, you're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with them, not stand behind them. So
Yeah, that's the key thing, is so many people, it's almost like the forgotten cause right now. I'm getting the impression that the media has turned away from it, so people don't realize what's going on down there. I had a call yesterday that said, well, I went down to Campo and there wasn't much going on. I said, that's because it's working.
Exactly. You know, and it's a lot of times some of the areas we are, which is between Campo and the O'Neill Valley, is the area that we do, is about 40 mile section of the border, that a lot of times, I feel like I'm a jinx, that wherever I go, nothing happens. You know?
That's good, though, yeah.
I'm sitting there, you know, with the night vision watching, you know, some owl fly by or some rabbit, you know, bouncing around or whatever. And it's as quiet as we can be, and then we get back to base. Then I hear down at Campo or up in the O'Neill Valley or whatever, you know, they had a bunch of traffic going on. But for a lot of us, you know, it's very quiet, and, you know, you get to, you know, play with neat stuff with this, the infrared or night vision to, you know,
good training.
That's like, but exactly. It's stuff that I couldn't afford, I get to use all the time down there.
Oh, yeah. I love it when they gave me the thermal imager the first time, and I go, what's this worth? Oh, $28,000. I started to melt inside. I'm like, I don't want to hold this.
The other neat thing that, you know, like you and I've done as far as training and all that, is it really gives you the chance to observe very carefully, whether using binoculars because it's before dusk or night vision and all that, because it's not all the ground pounding and, you know, chasing, you know, bad guys down a valley or whatever. Sometimes it's just very quietly sitting and observing and making yourself, in other words, disappear. But, you know, it's having the patience to, you know, there's a certain thing you do as far as watching at night, as far as whether you move your eyes in a square or scanning back and forth to see variations as far as movement and all that. And that's definitely one of the tactical skills, too, is being able to quietly sit at your post or whatever and make sure that nothing's happening. So
right.
And you learn about dressing warmly, because sometimes, especially like, you know, down at what we call a couch position in Campo,
uh-huh.
It can get nasty cold down there, mainly because the wind and the temperatures can drop down to 30 degrees down there.
What better way to test your metal and your gear and see what really works and what doesn't? It's a huge opportunity for any militia in America, not just California. Take your 2 weeks, come to the border. And you'll have some pressure because it is risky, it is dangerous, but you're also motivated because you're doing something good for the cause, but you're getting some real-world boots-on-the-ground training. Even if you're just sitting there, it's you can't get that. All these guys that go and shoot paper targets and do peel-off drills and all that, it's not going to – you won't know how to optimize it until you're sitting up there with two guys or one other guy on a hill in an OP, LPOP, in the middle of the night realizing, hey – they came after us right now, I might have to actually get up. You know, so it's important to test yourself that way.
Well, reading some of the stuff from Hammerdown that he had sent me, what was going on in Arizona about 2 weeks ago, that they, one of their patrols out there ran into drug cartel people, and they had a back and forth shooting situation, and it basically sounds like they wore the drug cartel out. It's like they'd actually engage into a firefight, then the drug cartel would move one way and they'd follow them moving the same way, and
yeah.
And they start to come across and shoot at them again and go somewhere else, and they just kind of, you know, back and forth, and finally the drug cartel gave up and just left and went back across to try another time. But in other words, it wasn't a free ticket or a free ride over. There were people over here to stop them.
Yeah, and I'm getting tired of people saying there's no more need for the militia. There's nowhere the militia can be applied when we've got that huge opportunity on the southern border.
Well, and we've got that opportunity. And this is a sidetrack part, is they can help out if there's a brush fire, helping evacuate.
Sure. Help, like the search and rescue stuff.
Search and rescue, you know, up where you are, if there's a heavy rain and mud.
We can fill sandbags.
To help in the meantime, or like you're talking about, the food bank, you know. And if you've got a specific type of uniform, you wear the uniform so people realize, hey, these aren't guys that, you know, go in the back alleys and beat up, you know, homeless people and skin the cats or whatever. Those are all sidebar things, but the main purpose of the militia and the training, which you very well know and the pastor does, is to protect our freedom, to protect our God-given rights that our founders gave us. It's not to shoot bunnies and squirrels. It's not to, you know, do whatever. I mean, there is training. There is, you know, educational stuff that has to go on. But the main purpose is, you know, to protect our country. That's the main reason.
Right. And it's a God-given right. It doesn't come from the state. It doesn't come from the magistrate. And it must, but it must be maintained by the people.
That's what a lot of the sheeple out there don't realize, and I know that you and the people up there do understand, is the proper chain or ladder of government is first, number one, is God.
Yeah.
Then after that, it's the individual and what the Constitution calls we the people.
Yeah, self-government.
Then from we the people, then the states were formed. And then, not directly below the states, but across from the states, then the states got together and formed the federal government. So, you know, there's, and unfortunately, you know, in one of the books I'm reading, which I told you the name of and all that, that it's now to the point which our founders never wanted, where the federal government is higher, stronger.
Sure.
And in essence, God over the state. It's not supposed to be that way. We, like the beginning of the Constitution, the we the people, they're to follow the will of the people, not say, you know what, those people are too stupid to know what's best for them.
Nanny state.
So we're going to pass cap and trade. We're going to pass WTO. We're going to pass all this other stuff because they're too stupid. The founders, you know, and the reason for having the Congress voted in every 2 years is if you're going to be a big screw-up, you're going to get voted out.
Sure. Well, that goes back to the reason this happened is because the people did nothing to stop it, period. If you allow your kid to run rampant and wild, he's going to turn into a brat, and that's what our government's become, bullies. And it's because we didn't stop them. There was just creep. You know, there was tyrannical creep over the generations from about 1812 till now. And
part of that is, Dutch, that it's the frog in the boiling water.
Yeah.
A lot of times it doesn't come in like a group of 10 men coming in with guns and bayonets. It literally comes in like a fog.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Take your baseball bat and swing at the fog? That's going to really be effective. But it's so gradual, be it, well, you have to regulate this, and we have to control that. And people, well, that's not that big of a deal to go to war over because they want, you know, to have smog check or they want to have seatbelt laws. I'm not going to, you know, get up my gun and go shoot someone because now we have to wear a seatbelt.
Sure.
With all these little regulations that you can see, let alone the ones you can't, that all of a sudden you look around and you're in chains, you're handcuffed and shackled, but it's been like the Bible talks, you know, one flaxen cord at a time, and by the time most people realize, you know, we're gone as a nation for what our founders wanted.
Sure.
But they did give us.
Well, with that comment, we're winding down here. We're only going to do 1 hour today. I'm not feeling that well, and I don't want to do two. I don't want to do 2 hours when the second one's lacking, and I can't think of a better way to stop than what Minuteman called in and talked about, because that's the key to everything there. We get the government we deserve. We've got to stand up. Right now they're talking about Department of Fish and Game is saying they own the river here. I just found out about this in the paper today, and that we all have to pay Department of Fish and Game to use their river. So when we stand up to these little tyrannies, it makes a difference. So thank you, Minuteman, for calling in. Thank you all for listening. When Ed checks in, tell him just to reset. And I think the last hour was a good show, and I would be proud to have that up on Liberty Tree Radio. I'm losing my gumption here. So thanks, Minuteman. Hope you have a good night.
Take care. God bless. Hope you get feeling better soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Remember, everyone, it's up to you. We talked about governance. Self-governance is the first level of government that God made on the world. His governance over all of us is supernatural and intergalactic and all that. But here on this world, we men are to be leaders of men, and that's what we're to do. Leaders of our family, leaders of our hearts and self first. Motivate yourself to do the right thing. Go check your gear. Go through your gear. Count your gear. Make lists. See what you have doubles of. Trade with those for what you need. We're getting closer and closer here, folks. You got mainline news talking about food riots. You got the soon-to-be King of England getting bounced around in his limo by angry students. Stuff's getting bad. It's only going to get worse. Sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord, but he still asks you to stand in the gap. How will you answer the call? We'll talk to you on Monday.
have the courage, the wisdom, the experience, and most importantly, the oldness.